Thank you, Chris. Man, she's good, isn't she? It has been an amazing season this last 3 years as we were doing many things in ministry around Victoria, preaching in many places, and then the conference in Fiji, and still helping our movement with what's called 75 Network, which is in our movement. All the churches have 75 members or under, looked after by Pastor Gary Hurigan, and I've been assisting with that right through the last few years. So we've been involved in our movement and serving in many different ways over the last 3 years while Dan and Meg have been leading the church here. And Chris and I are so excited, so glad to be a part of Infinity Church, a church we planted 31 years ago. And it's a church that has impacted the community in so many ways. Well, today we look at something that is very difficult for us, but we have in our past seen so many great things that God has done through this church. I think about all the ways we've served our community, like the community kitchen, which ran for many, many years, literally feeding hundreds of people every week. Food hampers, Christmas hampers, all kinds of things. Now we have a partnership with Plenty River College, a great school that works in this building. And it's assisting students year 10 to 12 who are on the spectrum or have ADHD, they're neurodiverse, and they couldn't make it in normal schools. They've been expelled or they've dropped out or they've given up, but they've come into this school and now they're flourishing. And thank God for Veronica and Paul and the staff that are part of that school. And it's a partnership. The school and the church are working together. And it's another way in which we can help serve our community. I've still been a police chaplain now for 19 years. It's another way that we can help, you know, an area where there's tremendous need in our society. And since the very beginning of this church being planted, we have planted 11 other churches. We have sowed into the mission field in Papua New Guinea, in Solomon Islands, in Vanuatu, in Fiji, in the Ukraine, and in Egypt. And as a church, we've helped run ministry conferences. We've run men's camps, women's camps, youth camps through many, many years. And we've now seen two great language services raised up in this church to impact people in our community that speak Arabic or speak Farsi. And these are all just ways in which God has done great things through all of us. We've put our hand to the plow. We haven't looked back. We've been saying, God, have your way in us. Let us reach Melbourne for Christ. Let us see God's hand upon us do great things. Today we face a day of sadness. And Daniel and Megan have been a great blessing to this church and have served and contributed much over the last 15 years. They are like a spiritual son and daughter to me and Chris. So how do we handle a tragedy like this? Firstly, as we've said 100 times this morning, we pray for them. Whenever it comes to your mind through the next week, 10 weeks, 15 weeks, 2 years, lift up your heart to God and pray for God's love and his strength to cover them. What did Jesus say about tough times? He said, Jesus spoke to us. He said, weep with them that weep. Our heart joins in with them to love them and help them through. If we know anyone else who's saddened by this difficult news, we want to minister to one another. We want to gather around others. Maybe there's some people that are not able to be here this morning. That might be someone you're catching up with through the week and might be necessary to help them to understand what is happening in our day-to-day. When you're speaking to others that might be hurting, we listen, we acknowledge pain, and we show care and empathy. This is actually the church working as it should. This month we're speaking about the church and this one particular aspect of it. is shared with us in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 to 26. And it says there, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Can you see the picture that Paul's painting here of the body? In all through Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, it illustrates the body of Christ being pictured by the human body and all the different parts, the eye and the ear, the hand and the foot, the parts of the body that are readily visible and the parts that are invisible. We don't see our liver, but it's pretty important, isn't it? You know, we don't see our organs on the inside. We see the face, we see the hands, we see this huge nose that's just embarrassing. But there's all different parts, but God shows us, like, if one part is hurting, the whole body suffers. And this is how the church operates. We're to support one another, to pray for one another, to help one another, to stand with one another through this time. Secondly, we look to God to see the big picture. We all go through things. We all go through great things. We all go through tough times. There is no one who's lived a whole life without tragedy and challenges. Look at the early church. In those early days when the day of Pentecost came and there was a flood of the Spirit of God and thousands saved in that first day, thousands baptized, the church exploding, going across the whole of Israel and across into other nations. But look at Acts 12, verses 1 to 3. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Then he saw that this met with the approval among the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. God was able to get Peter out of that position. But think about the early church in those days. What would it be like for them to experience this death of James the Apostle? What are we talking about here? You remember Peter, James, and John were the three disciples who were closest to Jesus, who were more talked about in the Gospels than any of the other disciples. These were the great men of God at the very top leadership level of the church. Peter, James, and John were the guys making it happen. And now this king, Herod, puts James to death. How would the church react? It must have been devastating for all of them. Even the ones that maybe didn't even know who James was personally, they'd heard about him. They knew what he was like. Imagine the sadness of the early church as they faced that tragedy. Yet the church moved forward to see many lives impacted by the gospel. Through those period, thousands were saved, tens of thousands, churches were planted, lives were changed, and nations were changed. James, he was one of the sons of thunder. Jesus had a brother called James. They called him James the Less. Poor guy, how'd you like a name like that? Yeah, thanks a lot, James the Less. Yeah, really loved that one. He was probably so humble he adored that name. But why did they call him James the Less? Because there was a James the Better, the Greater, the Main, the Key. That was the man that was taken out. This week we saw Charlie Kirk died, was murdered, I should say. A key man. We understand that there is an enemy. We understand that at times we go through very difficult moments. Last year, Pastor John nearly passed away. His heart nearly gave out. He was in intensive care for a few days. Many of us were able to get in there and lay hands on him, pray for him, and God's delivered him, raised him up, and now he's a healthy man. But that's just the enemy trying to take out key people, isn't it? We got to understand, church, we live in a war zone. We are not in heaven yet. God's given us power over all the power of the enemy. Yet Paul also says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. So wrestling obviously means conflict, doesn't it? Wrestling obviously means that there is a fight. Later, Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. Why does he talk about a fight? Because Jesus has triumphed over sin and death and given the keys of death and hell to us. And he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. So we go out into this world, but there's still a devil. He's been dethroned. He's been robbed of the keys of death and hell, but he's still working against the kingdom of God until the second coming of Jesus. And God sent his church in the earth to rule and reign, to declare your kingdom come, your will be done. He's given us the power, the authority to walk in the Spirit, to know that God is in control, that God is the God above all things. But our world is impacted by the power of sin. And now it's our turn to call people out of sin and into the kingdom of God. This month we've been teaching about the church. This is the role of the church, to minister to those who need care and healing and encouragement, but also to be all that God has called us to be. This week, as we were going through these changes and meeting up with leaders, God gave me a word. He spoke to my heart, a scripture that I learned and understood many years ago, but it came to life to me this week, Isaiah 59:15. And I love the way it reads in King James Version. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's the east. So right across the world from east to west, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. This is recognizing something here. The enemy tries to come in like a flood. I notice it doesn't say like a trickle. Sometimes it appears or feels like it's a flood with the enemies coming in and trying to bring harm and devastation to people's lives. I'm sure that you watch the news yourself and you think, man, our world is in a mess. There are so much crazy things happening in our world. And you and I understand that it's only going to continue like this. The church is going to rise and great revival will happen, but also all the ungodliness is going to rise too. The Word of God teaches that the weeds are going to grow up the same as the wheat, all in the same field. And Jesus said, don't send in the people to try and get the weeds out because you're going to pull out some of the weed as well. It'll all happen at those end times. The church will arise in power in every nation, but also there will be persecution. There will be a rising up of the Antichrist, of the negative stuff, of the things that are against the God, kingdom of God. But what does God say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. What is a standard? It's talking about the warfare in that Old Testament. When the nation of Israel would go into war, they would lift up a standard. It was the banner to declare who God was. And that standard is a declaration that causes the enemy to flee. In the New Testament, Paul writes about the church's big picture role. Paul speaks so well right through Ephesians about giving us an understanding of the whole plan and purpose of God and how he called us before this world was created. He had already chosen us to be in Christ. And he tells us more, he unpacks more about the role of the church in Ephesians 3 verses 10 and 11. He says this, his intent was that now, I want you to look at that word now. Now is from when Jesus rose from the dead until the second coming. Now, through the church, what? Through the church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to who? The rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church's role is to declare, proclaim, and make known the manifold wisdom of God to the angelic host and the demonic host. It's our job. We might look like human beings. We might sometimes feel about our own weaknesses seem to be so obvious. And yet God has said to us, I'm giving you something, the Word of God, that is very powerful, more powerful than any other thing. Jesus said, my word will not pass away. Heaven and earth might pass away, but my word will never pass away. So when you and I speak the word of God, we are speaking with great authority to change the realm of the spirit. Paul was giving us a job description when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that is people. We don't fight people. We wrestle against principalities and powers. So any person who's born again, part of their role is to declare God's will be done. God's kingdom come. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he said to them what you and I all know is called the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually our prayer, isn't it? And he said to them, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We begin with praise. We begin with that acknowledgement of how great our God is, how mighty he is. We worship him. We declare our love for him. We honor our God. He overflows us with that understanding of how wonderful our God is, how generous, how loving, how amazing the salvation is that he's given us. But as soon as we finish the praise section of our prayer, he says, now go on and say, your kingdom come on earth, your will be done as it is in heaven. That's the work, the role description, isn't it? That's where you and I get to say, okay, this is our job. Bring the kingdom, declare the kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we become a Christian in our early days, probably I think for most of us, we don't really understand how much authority we've actually got. But we grow in our understanding. We grow in our faith. We grow in our experience. Maybe the first person I pray for doesn't get healed. But don't stop praying. Keep praying, keep believing, keep moving forward. And see more and more of God's will being done in your life, in your family, in your street where you live, in your workplace or wherever you have influence. If you ever feel weak or powerless or whatever, step back into your identity as a Christian, as a person who belongs to God, as someone who is in Christ and Christ is in you. And take that step of boldness and say, I'm going to pray God's word. I'm going to declare his kingdom come, his will be done. So how do we make the manifold wisdom of God known to the angelic host, the demonic host? First of all, we work in the horizontal. We show the love and mercy for all people to illustrate the amazing love and grace of God. We love our enemies. We do good to them that despitefully use us. We love people. We love our brothers and sisters. We give where we can give. When we declare that, when we speak that, when we live that, we're making a declaration. We're making it obvious even to people on earth. This is how people will know that you belong to Jesus, by the love that his disciples have for one another. Our love is a love that is unconditional. As they nailed Jesus' hands to the cross, he cried out to his Father, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." How could you pray that prayer going through such an agonizing pain? "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." That's the kind of love that God has planted inside of us. When we love one another, the horizontal version of living this life, we declare to the world and to the realm of the Spirit, this is who we are. We're filled with the love of God. We're filled with the grace of God. We're filled with the amazing provision of God that we can touch and change others' lives. And secondly, we go vertical. We pray and we declare God's truth. When things go wrong, we show love. When things go wrong, we pray with authority. Don't pray out of bad experiences. Don't pray because you're feeling like, well, the last time I prayed, it didn't work. Pray according to God's word, because it is unchangeable. His word will not pass away. If I had prayed 10,000 prayers and not one was ever answered, I would still stand in the Spirit and say, this is what God's word says. His word will never fail. It is the truth. He says, if my word returns to me, it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. Therefore, I declare, Jesus is Lord. The power of God is moving. I cannot base my faith on my experience. Now, Chris and I have had a lot of prayers answered. Thank God. We've seen many lives healed, touched and changed, many miracles, many great things happen. But we've also seen tragedies. But I can't pray a prayer of faith thinking about all the things that didn't work. I've got to pray according to God's word. We stand in the Spirit and we declare what God says, because it's unchangeable. We lift up our voice and we make our voice heard. And what multiplies the power in this is when two agree is touching anything, it shall be done for them of their Father which is in heaven. Chris and I pray together a lot. And I get that feeling when I'm praying on my own, it's wonderful. When Chris comes in the room, starts praying, I feel, whoa, I feel the power coming now, because I feel that agreement. But what about when 20 or 30 of us get together and pray? Or 100 of us or whatever? Imagine the effectiveness. If one puts 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. When we pray together, something powerful is happening. What lies ahead of us is hope and strength and God's plan. Chris and I are very confident and excited for Jono and Kate to lead this English service. They have been serving this church for 11 years. In the same way that the Arabic service is led by Pastors Hani and Carly, and the Farsi service is being led by Pastors John and Mary, Jono and Kate will take the lead role over English service. We will be here a lot, sometimes preaching, but empowering these gifted pastors to rise up and overcome and develop great congregations. The change for Jono and Kate was planned previous to this. And Chris and I feel very excited and comfortable that this is now the right time for this effective change. And we support them wholeheartedly. As we close the service this morning, I would like us to join together. So I want you to stand with me right now, please. We're going to pray and we're going to recognize the two different aspects that we shared in this message today. The aspect of the horizontal, where we're caring for one another, but also the aspect of the vertical, where we are declaring God's will be done. And I want you to feel and sense that you're part of a great church this morning. And so I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you, so that we're joined up here. And I'm going to put my hand on Laura's shoulder. I want you to sense that you're connected, not just because your hand's on someone's shoulder, but because we have the same heart. We have a heart to see God's will be done at Infinity Church, but right across our city. And let us pray right now for Daniel, for Megan, for the entire family, Zeke and Evie and all the family. Father, we lift them up again and we pray again for them this morning, for your grace and your mercy to surround them. We call upon the Lord to pour out your goodness, your answer, your strength, your love, your power to touch them, Father. Father, thank you for Evie and Zeke, Lord. You'd bless them and heal them and touch their hearts. Help them through this time, Father. For all of the Power family, we lift them up to you and we believe that, Lord, you're walking with them through this journey. Lord, your encouragement, your covering, your blessing, your strength is around them right now, Lord Jesus. You are the answer, Jesus. You are the helper. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. And we declare, Lord, you are the one we lean on and look to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now we declare to the realm of spirit over our church, we declare Jesus is Lord. We declare the power of the name of Jesus over Infinity Church. We declare today no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare today that Jesus is Lord, and we declare a move of the Holy Spirit is upon our church today, upon all of our church, our people, our pastors, our leaders. God, have your way in us and through us. Lord, enable us. Give us the grace to see our city changed. Lord, to see our nation changed for the gospel. We declare the glory of God rest upon Infinity Church today. Let the glory of God flow over us, Father. Lord, you are God. You are Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory of the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We thank you for it, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let the music team just lead us in worship today. Thank you.